more than one horse on your mind? Bundle all the runners you love in the one prize, and if any of them win, you win. Plus, combine your bundle bets into a multi and get even greater odds. And it doesn't just end at racing. Add your bundle bet racing legs together with all your favourite sports to create the ultimate multi. So place a bundle bet multi for more excitement, more runners, and more chances of winning today. Tab. We love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Menangle Tips, every Saturday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
And time to take a look at the world of harness racing. Fred Hastings, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Simon. Yes, it's been a busy week. It all commenced 7 days ago with the running of the Breeders' Challenge meeting, but we're going to go on a different tack before we run through the week that was. Of course, Newcastle raced in conjunction with Menangle last night, and there was a nasty fall which saw a number of drivers come to grief, and John Dumersney, CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales, is kindly popping on the show this morning to give us the latest update on those fallen drivers and horses, and I'm pretty sure John's raring to go.
John, good morning to you, and thanks for giving up some of your time.
Not a problem at all, Simon, Fred. We're monitoring everything all the time. Not me, myself personally, all the time, but we keep an eye on what's happening, and the incident at Newcastle last night was certainly a nasty incident that, you know, we don't wish to see occur.
And, John, was it just a case of that horse on the peg sort of come to my eye, looked like it had collapsed, or did it get on the runner in front of it? How did it come down?
Well, that's subject to the steward's inquiry, and what you must note that with so many drivers involved, two transported to hospital, one other continuing on, and Katie McGill, of course, being a little bit shook up, but they'll continue that inquiry, and it's not right that they look at it straight away. So we'll just wait until they see what the stewards come out with that one.
All right, John. What is the latest? I know Mark Callaghan, who was one of the drivers involved, he bounced back pretty swiftly because he drove the next winner, but the condition of the other drivers?
Yeah, Ben Woodford and Peter Hedges were both transported to hospital. Ben with certainly a broken wrist or lower arm, he's gone straight almost immediately into surgery. The doctors are with him, and Peter Hedges, he has abdominal some sort of an injury there, maybe the ribs, and he's certainly in the best of care at John Hunter Hospital. Yeah. But there was a lot came out of this. It's a very emotive issue when we have these falls. The loved ones and the friends of those people that are engaged want to become involved, and others as well. So as we do with all such incidents, naturally there's a report submitted by the paramedics, and the stewards review those, and of course administration review everything to make sure that we've got our processes and our practices in the right order.
And John, I think it's important to just clarify, because there were some postings on various forms of social media, that there are indeed paramedics and qualified people to assist and aid those drivers and or patrons and or staff who become injured during the course of a race meeting, albeit
certainly,
not New South Wales Ambulance Service, but they are trained in their profession.
Certainly. We have practices and processes that we've worked through very diligently to make sure that we've got best standard available. There are certainly legislative requirements that maybe not everybody's aware of, and that those requirements are both on paramedical services that are a hell of a lot of sporting fixtures, racing events, car racing, harness racing, and also there is the issue with the New South Wales Ambulance with what they can and can't do. So it's best practice, but as I said, Fred, we review all these things as they come to us. In fact, we're just in the middle of a review into an incident at one of the Sydney tracks only in the last month or so, where to some possibly what occurred wasn't best practice. So we will sit down, of course, with the UHRA. They're the group that represents the drivers, and look at whether we do have the best practices, because first and foremost, the safety of all participants is there for Harness Racing New South Wales to purview over and make sure that we've got it right.
Well, that's one thing that I think Harness Racing New South Wales can take a bow with. They're very proactive when it comes to reviewing all elements of the processes that are in place at a race meeting and the ongoing subjects such as, you know, the Metropolitan Handicapping System and those sort of things. They're always under constant review, and you guys aren't afraid, and the board, if it needs changing, you'll certainly jump in and make what changes you feel appropriate based on the findings.
Yeah, certainly, and sometimes we're accused of it dragging our feet, but it's all the industry that must be involved, and following that incident last night, the chairman of HIREC, was notified of the postings on Facebook and the concerns, and they're very, very legitimate concerns of certain people that we possibly need to review it. We do need to review it, but possibly need to change our practices. So that's the case. But when we look at the incident that happened in the city a couple of weeks ago, and we'll take that back to the UHRA, we had a driver that was involved in an incident on the track. Things happened, and he continued on his way, rightfully or wrongly. But if you look at that and say, well, maybe he shouldn't have, we look at Mark Callaghan last night that was involved in that ball. He had an up and down sort of a night. He was up. He had two winners. He had a fall, so he was down. But he came back up because he did drive the winner of the very next race. Well, they're the assessments we need to carefully look at as to whether he should have been stood down for the rest of the night. That's something that's on the table for the Harness Racing New South Wales, the paramedical providers to look at, as well as the UHRA, the drivers themselves.
Terrific, John. Well, and just quickly, Katie McGill, I should just mention, she had a bit of a headache and was a bit sore, but Katie's bounced back as well. So our thoughts are with Benny Woodsford and Pete Hedges, and hope they have a speedy recovery, and really appreciate you giving us some time, John, and explaining and clarifying some of those issues and the state of the drivers.
Certainly, Fred. And if I can just add one more thing.
Yep.
Now, these drivers are covered under workers' compensation laws. So for Benny and Peter, they're in John Hunter Hospital. They're fully covered by that workers' comp as far as their medical expenses are concerned. So for drivers out there, you need to look at what happens. And certainly when you're in a race, do whatever's, or take the opportunity of taking whatever's available to you. But Ben and Peter will be well looked after. Tony Drew up there at the club. He gets to run this part of the process, but he'll make sure that the medical attention is there for Ben and Peter.
Terrific. Thanks so much, John.
Thanks, Fred.
John Dummersney there, Simon. Just clarifying a few points and importantly giving us the update on the drivers. It's certainly been a busy week for Todd McCarthy. He had a terrific week during the course of the week. He drove a double on Tuesday at Menangle. He got three at Penrith on Thursday, and he picked up three last night, and one of those wins was in the Group 3 with Tiger Tara.
They start their way down the side of the track, 500 left to go, and here comes Tiger Tara now, goes up quickly to All Black Stride, gets a half in front, now three quarters, Lochinvar's third, Presidential Secret, Sapphire Stride, Underworked, where's Salty Robin, it's still last on the bend, 28 the quarter, and Todd McCarthy looking for three winners tonight has sent Tiger Tara clear, All Black Stride tries to stick on, Lochinvar, Sapphire Stride, Underworked is down the outside, it's Tiger Tara, 100 left to go, All Black Stride running a great race with Lochinvar, but Tiger Tara gives Tony Mack three for the night, and Tiger Tara wins it. Seconds tied, All Black Stride maybe a nose to Lochinvar.
So Tiger Tara there winning the Group 3, backing up from the Len Smith Freddie, and Todd McCarthy has been good enough to join us. Todd, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks very much for having me on.
Pleasure, Todd. Three winners. I'll start with Tiger Tara. Simon mentioned unplaced in the Len Smith, but was only beaten about two lengths, and quite incredibly, some clockers have Tiger Tara coming home its back end in a sub-53, about 52.8. Incredible sections, and I guess on the back of that, you had to consider him a chance back on the front row.
Yeah, for sure, Freddie. I was wrapped with him in the Len Smith. He probably couldn't have run a better race. You know, his last 100, he was doing his best, but he was off the clock that day, and we were pretty confident going into last night.
It's a frustrating caper, I guess, when you got a horse that the trainer, Kevin Pizzuto, has done a great job and has him as fit as hands can have him, but he draws, what was it, barrier 13, you know, and all of a sudden, in many respects, in that calibre of field and the way the race was speed-mapped, Tiger Tara was always going to be struggling.
Yeah, pretty much as soon as the field came out, it always looked like a race that was going to be, you know, pretty tough for us to even be able to get into at any stage. It wasn't one of the races where, especially drawn over a mile like that, we sort of couldn't get round and make our own luck. So we were pretty bummed with the draw, but the horse ran an excellent race and we knew he'd be better for it.
Well, he certainly showed that last night, and of course his blacks are fake bound now. Will you be heading up to drivers? Have you and Kev discussed that?
Yeah, Kev's going to take him up and I'll just fly up on the Saturday to drive him. Pending's all well and good with the horse and he'll, yeah, and as long as Kev's happy with him when he's ready to load him up, take him up, so he should be up there.
Awesome. Now, Cyclone Kate, she bounced back to her best last night. She's been racing the good mares and she got into that second-tier race last night and she was very good.
Yeah, it was really good. She's been running in some pretty tough races too, so... she slotted back to a nice race that sort of suited her and she got a draw there and it was good to get a win for her because I think she might be going to the breeding barn now, so Dad will talk to the owners and see what they think, but last we heard that was sort of what they were thinking with us, so it was good to get a win with her, especially if it is going to be a last start there.
And in good time. And your old mate, Lord Zinzan, bounced back. Of course, we've discussed him in the past. He's a day-to-day proposition and ran a cracking race two starts back. What happened? Any particular thing amiss on Sunday when he led and dropped down?
No, a little bit disappointed with him on Sunday. He's a bit of a funny horse, you know. Some weeks he does go better than others when he's feeling a bit better than other weeks, but... Sunday, he just sort of got back in the field and he didn't show a lot of interest in the race. So hopefully, hopefully we can try and keep on top of that sort of stuff with him. But Saturday, it was good. Last night, I sort of got the lead and dictate a bit with him and hopefully he grows on that run.
Just shows that even horses can have a bad day, Todd.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, on a personal note, you've hit the 88 winner mark. You're only about a dozen away. Well, you are. You're a dozen away from your century. I suppose at the start of the season, when you had injury and a bit of time away when you were on vacation, it sort of meant that you were always going to be a bit behind the eight ball, but you've really knuckled down. And as I said, eight winners in this past week. I'm going to back you in with about 8 weeks of the season to go to get the triple figures.
I hope you're right. It'd be nice to get the 100 again. The season started off pretty slow. I missed about 12 weeks at the start of the season with injury and holiday and stuff like that. But it's been good. I've got a great, team of trainers behind me that helps a lot too. So you're only as good as the horse you're on and it helps a lot when you're driving nice horses.
100%. And, of course, you're equal with brother Luke on the Metro Premiership as well. So another good little battle between the brothers McCarthy and... another youngster not far away in Chris Geary, a couple of wins behind the pair of you. So it's going to be an interesting battle in the last couple of months of the Metro season as well, Todd.
Yeah, it should be good. And it's good rivalry between all three of us. So I'm sure whoever wins that one will have good bragging rights for a week or two.
Terrific. Well, always good to catch up. Good luck when you venture to Queensland. As I said, I've got onto sports, TAB Sportsbet, and I've actually tried to find a price on you getting 100 winners for the season. I did put the mock on you, you might remember, last night when I said, Todd, I've got to get you on the show. You've driven three. You said, turn it up, Freddie. I might drive four here with Raka Razor. Well, I gave you the kiss of death, but hopefully you'll get the triple figures and all's well for the remaining four, 8 weeks, including that trip up north.
Yeah, thanks very much, Freddie.
Thanks for coming on. Todd McCarthy there, Simon. And we spoke to Todd probably about 3 or 4 months ago, and he was just starting to hit his stride then, and we thought he might well make the century. And as I said, with about 8 weeks to go, he's zeroing in on another century season.
There was a new handicapping system that was in place last night at Menangle, Freddie. It was to do with horses that haven't been winning and they get the better barrier draw or something?
Well, what it is, it's the horses are assessed and they're ranked based on their performances at their last five, the prize money earned, and their last five performances, excluding an MO victory. So they rank them, and you therefore have your best horses are in what's known as level one, and they race for Group 3, $30,000 prize money. And they've restructured the prize money. They've jinked the prize money, Simon, so there's a better spread of prize money from second through to last. Just to keep, and the notion behind it is it keeps a pool of horses in Sydney. A lot of horses would hit their mark, they'd get into the better company, and they'd find they just couldn't compete. and they would end up being sold interstate or in some cases even sold to North America. This idea or this system that's come in on a three-month trial basis will see horses slide. If you can, I guess the best way is imagine a game of snakes and ladders. As their performances dwindle in a certain grade, they will drop down into a next into the next level, and other horses will be promoted as they achieve in the level two, three, and four. So it's like a sliding process. It probably will take about 3 to 4 weeks to really sort out the rankings and get them right, but I think it's a great thing for the industry. I think Harness Racing New South Wales and the team at Club Menangle have come up with this system. It's a beauty because it's going to keep horses in Sydney. It's going to keep owners interested because they're going to say, well, hang on, instead of my horse not being quite up to a metro race on a Saturday, I'm going to have to sell it. They can keep it, have a bit of fun. And it'll, the prize money scale will ensure that even if they come last, they're going to earn reasonable prize money in the month if they compete in every race every Saturday night. So I think it's a great thing. And it also means, Simon, we go back to 10 horses across the front on a Saturday. 10 across the front. So they'll generally draw the fields of 12, so two emergencies. But if they come out, we have 10 across the front. No more second row draws on the metro meetings on a Saturday, no more claiming races on a Saturday night as well. So I think there's some real positives, and I think all involved need to be applauded because I think this is going to be a very good thing. On a three-month trial basis, I must point out, but they'll assess, as you heard John say, Simon, they're always proactive in addressing things that they need to and checking off on things on a trial basis and make sure that all the facts and figures balance up. They have measurable criteria that they will use to ascertain whether the new system is more beneficial for the industry. Just for what it's worth, my two bob's worth, I think it's a terrific thing.
Yeah, it sounds good to my ears. Any other news for us, Freddie, before we wrap it up?
Yeah, really quickly, Spare Me Days won the Mr. Feel Good. Well done to Brad Hewitt. The trialling sale, which has been quite a big thing in Sydney over the last 7 years or so, it'll be held on the 3rd of December, and they're doing it a bit differently there, the ready-to-run trialling team. They're going to have tried and untried horses welcoming nominations for tried and untried horses of any age. It's traditionally been a two-year-old trialling sale, so the two-year-olds would trial over 800 metres and then go under the hammer later that day. But they're opening it up this year to some older horses as well, if people want to put them in the sale. So that's important to note. That's December 3, and that is just about me. Of course, we have Dubbo today with 8 races and a pretty busy week ahead, culminating in next Saturday's Group 3 Tier 1, Level 1 race, the Metro race of Group 3 worth $30,000.
Good on you, Freddie. Thanks very much for your help. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thanks so much, Simon. All the best, mate.
Catch you next week. Fred Hastings there. It's 13 to 11. We'll take a break. And then Stuart Turner with this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind.
Listen into the Big Sports Breakfast from Monday for your chance to win a double pass to Arsenal versus Sydney FC or Arsenal versus Western Sydney Wanderers at ANZ. Watch the game in luxury from a fully catered corporate box. For your chance to win, tune in from 5:30 a.m. Monday. Bing Lee, bringing you the best brands and best advice since 1957. Head into Bing Lee today and grab a bargain.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
We'll take a look at Greyhound racing now, and from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Stuart Turner, good morning.
Morning, Simon. How are you going today?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Stewie, how was Wentworth Park last night? No feature races, but a couple of decent events nonetheless.
Yeah, there certainly was. We saw some great action at Wente last night, including in the monthly medal final, a win for a greyhound who's really building a pretty solid reputation for himself, Simon. Riley took harm winning this one. Not an amazing time of 3:24, admittedly, over the 520 metres, but gee, beat a quality field in this race. Riley took harm, now 10 wins in 22 starts, including 3 of his last 5. So, look, maybe he's the next group-winning star for his trainer, Jason Mackay. Jason, obviously, no stranger to success, and he looks like he's got another star on his hands with Riley Takam.
Juicy odds too, 10 to 1 with the tab fixed odds. Let's have a listen to Riley Takam winning last night's monthly medal final.
Now the green light switched on. Ready to go, race 8. Set. Ready.
Racing, Mr. Twisted, Dwelt Royal Turbo away in a hurry. Showing speed, mainline, Ostie out wide, punching up, she's grand. On the inside, it's Royal Turbo driving through. Had the lead over mainline, Ostie moving up three deep, Red Four. Back on the inside, Knight's Pride and Riley Turcombe with a sweeping run. They'll follow by she's grand, drifting back. Then Mr. Twister, Effective Comet, Royal Turbo, headed off by Riley Turcombe. Riley Turcombe shot away, Red Four to second. Riley Turcombe bolted in, beat Red Four.
So there's Riley Tokam's win last night. So we heard Mr. Twister was in the same race, Stewie, just a bit slow out. Has put together a couple of average runs since winning the Peter Mossman.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe he needs a little bit of a break. But look, he's in good hands with Jason Mackay, and obviously Jason will probably plot a course of success for him. We've got the New South Wales Sprint Championship coming up in a few weeks, Simon. And look, for me, Mr. Twister would still be the pick in that race. He's obviously a fantastic greyhound. But that was a great win for Riley Turcombe. As you heard there from Timmy, Royal Turbo, a greyhound we've talked about on the show a couple of weeks ago, was in that field as well. She's Grand as well was in there, who's been going great recently. So, another win for Jason there with Riley Turcombe. As I said, three wins in his last five starts. He's taken to Wentworth Park like a duck to water, and he's definitely a greyhound to watch over these coming weeks.
The Grafton Carnival gets underway tomorrow night with heats of the Maiden Series.
Yeah, that's right. Always one of the highlights of the New South Wales racing calendar, this one. We've got a packed series of meetings at Grafton between now and finals night on July the 12th. Tomorrow night, it's seven heats of the Carnival's biggest race, the Maiden Series. Two names for me to watch in this series, Simon. Northern Nangar, who's got box eight in the fourth heat. Northern Nangar, trained by the local trainer up there, Dave Irwin. I think he had a winner last year, if I remember right, with Nangar Thunder. So, look, Northern Nangar in good hands there. And also Shevchenko, who's got box one in heat six. Shevchenko, a son of the champion Fernando Bale, and Scissor Queen, who was no sloucher either. Those two, my picks for the series. All the fields and forms, that one, of course, on the dogs.com.au website.
And how did it go at Albion Park last week with the heats of the Winter Cup?
Yeah, that's right. Look, we've got the final of this one on Thursday, Simon. I'm counting the days for this one already. It looks an absolutely terrific race. We had five super heats of this one last Thursday night. Among the winners, Ando's Mac, and our pick for the series, I'm happy to say, Bubble Guppy, who won his heat for Tony Epap. Bubble Guppy gets box seven in the final. And gee, look, this looks an absolutely fantastic race. The greyhound who took time honours in the heat with a super 29.73 was Nangar Rock, the Victorian, trained by Anthony Azzopardi. Nangar Rock now got three wins in a row, and gee, he looks a big chance in this Thursday's final, Simon.
Let's have a listen to Nangar Rock winning his heat.
Mahi begins brilliantly, comes down the outside to join Nangar Rock, so the two Victorians go into the first turn together. Then came Azazuz, followed there by Took a Turn, and they're well clear of Patronus. Jackson Ben's got back, and Alpha Hermes the last one. Down the back, Nangar Rock took over, raced away, looks home from Mahi, and then came Took a Turn in third placing, but around the turn, Nangar Rock will have a Metropolitan win now in the logbook. Nangar Rock won by five, Took a Turn got second. And Maja Mahi a fading third.
So one of the more sort of standouts of the heats from last Thursday, Stewie, with Nangar Rock drawing box five in the final and is $4. Now, it's a pretty open race. Ando's Max come up with box eight, $3.50, $3.80 for one cosmic bonus. Fast Times from box four at $3.90. Nangar Rock from box five there at $4. And the one you like, Bubble Guppy, Stewie, has drawn box seven and a $12 chance. So with the final on next Thursday night, we stick with Bubble Guppy.
Mate, on this show, we always stick with our picks. So, yeah, look, I think Bubble Guppy is excellent value there. Look, he's got a good draw from out wide. He's in great form at the moment. I think he's now won three in a row. As I said, he's in great hands with Tony Epap. For me, he represents great value. The final is wide open, as you mentioned, because none of the favourites look to have drawn that great. Although, look, Ando's Mac is a talent from anywhere, and I think he's won three of his six races out wide. I think the box draw just gives the edge to Fast Time. times. He ran excellently in the heat, and one of the locals as well in great hands with Tony Brett. But look, come on, let's have a bit of faith in our convictions here. I reckon I'm going to stick with Bubble Guppy as a great value chance to win Thursday's Winter Cup at Albion Park, Simon.
Yeah, good each way odds there. So $12 to win, and tab.com.au have got $2.83 for the place at the moment. Looking forward to the Winter Cup final, the Group 1 Albion Park on Thursday night. Later today, Stewie, we've got heats of the Group 2 Bendigo Cup.
We do. The big racing continues around the country in 8 heats of this one. Now, this is worth $47,000 to the winner. It's over the 425 metres. A great lineup, as you'd expect. Last year's winner, Aston Bolero, is in heat 3. Strike a Light, who had no luck in the Winter Cup heats on Thursday, the Golden Easter Egg winner. She's going back to Victoria for this, and she's in heat 5. And look, the track record holder, Jimmy Newob, he's in heat 1 as well. So there's loads of top-quality greyhounds to watch in this one. Look, Simon, my pick for this one, I'm going to go with Aston DB, who's been on fire recently. He's a great talent at his best. Aston DB, he's got box 6 in the 18th of the Bendigo Cup today. I'm going to go with him to get the win in that one, Simon.
The tab fixed odds are up for all of these races at Bendigo, and Aston DB in that heat, $2 at the moment with the tab fixed for heat 8. So you can get flip of the coin. Pantera Nera's in that same race at $4. And Vancouver Star there at $5. But as you mentioned, plenty of great greyhounds on display at Bendigo this afternoon. And all of those fixed odds can now be found at tab.com.au. Okay, so that's Bendigo later on today. What's happening around the state over the next week, Stewie?
Yeah, we've got loads to look forward to, as ever, Simon. Of course, we've got the Twilight meeting at Canberra today. Then tomorrow, it's Nowra, Bathurst and that Grafton meeting that we talked about to kick off the Winter Carnival there. Tuesday, it's Gosford Casino and Canberra again. Wednesday, they jump at Richmond and back to Wentworth Park. Thursday, we've got Casino, Maitland and Bacto. Friday, they jump at Grafton, the Gardens, Richmond and Wagga. Busy day, that one. And then Saturday, it's back to the Gardens, Full Eye and Wentworth Park. So loads to look forward to as ever. And, of course, for your Fields Form and Expert pick, it's thedogs.com.au. And just finally, Simon, a word on the English Derby. It was won by Astute Missile, taking that one out as a 28-1 shot there. Apparently, the rank outsider and the longest price winner ever to get that one. So congratulations to Astute Missile's connections. Unfortunately, our pick, Droopy's Acrobat, finished 5th, but still a great effort to get through to the final, Simon.
What about Claire's Rocket? How did Claire's Rocket go?
I think Claire's Rocket, from memory, I haven't got the finish in front of me, but I think Claire's Rocket finished 4th. So unlucky there. Obviously had a mixed build-up to that series, as we talked about over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there might have been some psychological scarring there from being kidnapped.
You never know. But look, a fantastic win for Astute Missile, trained on the south coast of England. I know his connections have had a little bit of personal tragedy over the last few weeks. I think they've lost a family member there in rather sad circumstances. So look, I'm sure they've enjoyed that one. Well done to trainer Seamus Cahill and the connections on a great win. I'm sure they've had a wonderful night in England. But well done to Astute Missile taking out the English Derby at Towcester. I know it was a great day there. They had a great crowd, wonderful atmosphere. By all accounts, it was a fantastic day. And I'm just sorry I couldn't have been there, to be honest. Mm. But congratulations to them.
All righty, Stu. Anything else for us before we wrap it up?
Well, look, as I just said, it's going to be a great week this week. The Grafton Winter Carnival is going to be a fantastic affair. And as I said, keep your eye on thedogs.com.au for all your field form and expert picks for that one. It's going to be a great few weeks of racing up there on the Northern Rivers.
All right, we'll leave it there. Good on you, Stewie. I'll catch you next Sunday.
See you later, mate. Take care.
So, Stuart Turner there. And don't forget the podcast as well with Stuart Turner every Wednesday, Talking Greyhounds. That goes up around 2 o'clock every Wednesday, as does the Trots Talk podcast with Amanda Rando. It's 1 minute to 11. Shortly, Kel O'Rourke will give us a couple of best bets for Canberra Greys. We'll take a look at harness racing at Dubbo and then preview New South Wales thoroughbred action from Mudgee.
Ride the night with Trackside. For the first time ever, you can now experience the thrill of Trackside thoroughbred, greys and
night racing from 7 p.m. You'll see trackside as you've never seen it before. So, light up your night and play trackside at your local tap venue. Gamble responsibly.
Entries are now open for the 2018 Inglis Yearling Sale Series. 2017 was Inglis' greatest ever select yearling sale season. Join a world-class 2018.